artist out there isn't from Nashville. She's from Dublin. C-Mat released her Mercury Prize-nominated album Euro Country last year and has a theory on why she and other Irish people connect to country music.
I think it's in the bones of even the happiest country music is just like pure sadness and like abject misery and confusion at the human condition. And these are all the topics that occupy my brain the most.
Coming up, C-Mat performs songs from Euro Country and discusses the album, including the story behind her song, Take a Sexy Picture of Me.
It was basically as soon as I became famous, the only thing that 80% of the people on the internet felt the need to talk about was how much I weigh.
I was a little girl. I only wanted to be sexy.
It's a conversation with C-Mat today. I'm Raina Duras. This is World Cafe.
For KAXE News, I'm Megan Buffington with the Up North Report. 1 week after the killing of Renee Good by an Immigration and Customs Enforcement officer in Minneapolis, another shooting by a federal agent caused protests to flare shortly after Governor Tim Walz addressed the state Wednesday night. Chelsea Perkins has the updates.
President Donald Trump on Thursday morning threatened to send the military into Minnesota to stop protests after the shooting that injured one person. This would be invoking the Insurrection Act, which is an 1800s law allowing the government to use the military to, quote, repress insurrections and repel invasions. According to an account from the U.S. Department of Homeland Security, an agent shot an undocumented Venezuelan in the leg in North Minneapolis after he attempted to flee a targeted traffic stop. On social media Thursday, Walz made a direct appeal to the president, writing, quote, "Let's turn the temperature down, stop this campaign of retribution. This is not who we are." DHS Secretary Kristi Noem told reporters Thursday morning she has no plans to withdraw the 2,000 to 3,000 federal agents in Minnesota. Walz also appealed to Minnesotans during a six-minute address on Wednesday night. He encouraged people to protest peacefully and to carry their phones and document ICE activity if they see it.
Help us create a database of the atrocities against Minnesotans, not just to establish a record for posterity, but to bank evidence for future prosecution.
Attorney General Keith Ellison launched a form on his website Thursday that Minnesotans can use to share information about the impacts federal actions have had on them personally or someone close to them, or that they personally witnessed. The office asked that people not share rumors, media reports, secondhand information they can't verify, or social media posts documenting experiences that they didn't witness or experience. The form is separate from the portal collecting evidence regarding the killing of Renee Good. Chelsea Perkins, KAXE News.
The DNR has come to a nearly $3 million enforcement agreement with Enbridge Energy for the fourth confirmed aquifer breach related to the Line 3 project. According to the DNR, Enbridge reported an upwelling of groundwater at the Moose Lake site near Swatara in Aiken County in August 2022. The groundwater flow was much lower than the other confirmed breaches. The DNR determined early in its evaluation that it would not be feasible to completely stop the flow of groundwater due to the peatland terrain, complex hydrology, and the potential for additional damage to the area's natural resources. Over the next year, Enbridge stabilized the site under DNR oversight. The agency will continue to monitor conditions at Moose Lake and along Line 3. Enbridge completed the controversial replacement of its oil pipeline in 2021, shifting much of the route some 30 miles south. Leanna Goose is an organizer for the Rise and Repair Alliance, which advocates for climate justice and indigenous rights. She says the financial penalty is essentially meaningless compared to the company's value and will, quote, have no real impact on Enbridge's long-term behavior. The DNR says nearly half of the financial agreement is set aside for potential mitigation, with the rest funding special environmental projects, ongoing monitoring, and civil penalties. An employee with the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency estimated over 250 people attended the public meeting on Mesabi Metallics permits Wednesday in Nashwauk. The PCA permits are one of the last steps before the mine can open. Mesabi Metallics has around 100 local employees, and nearly all of them came out for the meeting. Malia Mae Pennington works in environmental compliance. She says they're excited to be so close to the finish line.
I think this just shows the work that we've been doing over the past year and a half, and the amount of supporters that are out here is amazing.
Mesabi Metallics aims to be fully up and running by June. The mine will produce direct reduction grade pellets for electric arc furnaces. It will be the first new pellet plant in the state since the 70s. That's it for the Up North Report. Find more of our stories and photos at kaxe.org. There you can also find content from our music, Phenology, and morning show teams. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Megan Buffington, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report is made possible by Woodland Bank, serving the area since 1920, with locations in Grand Rapids, Cohasset, Hill City, and Deer River. Woodland Bank believes in building community and serving local nonprofits like KAXE.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. Country music is about storytelling and the sharing of real human experiences, whether those experiences are in the heartlands of America or in the green hills of Ireland. Kira Mary Alice Thompson performs as CMAT. She grew up just outside of Dublin, and she explores her Irish identity and the nation's recent history on her 2025 Mercury Prize-nominated album, Eurocountry, a record that blends clever pop with, you guessed it, lots of country. In our conversation today, she talks about growing up and living in Ireland in the wake of the economic crash of the late 2000s, about why country music was not only something she connected to early on in her life, but why it also resonates within the broader Irish culture. You'll also hear CMAT perform live, beginning with When a Good Man Cries. It's CMAT live for the World Cafe.
One, two, three, four. Get back.
Live for World Cafe, When a Good Man Cries. That is C-Mat from her album, Euro Country. I'm Raina Duras. C-Mat's here with me today. That is a country song. It's also very clearly Irish, even just in the references to like Dorian Gray and you calling yourself Dunboyne Diana. I would like to give people an idea of where you came from. You grew up in Dunboyne, outside of Dublin. Could you set the scene for us? Could you describe that area?
So I did. I actually moved to Dunboyne when I was about 10. We lived in Dublin 15 before then. Dublin 15 is like grey housing estate, I would say. And there's like one shop and it's all roads and housing estate. And then we moved to Dunboyne when I was 10, which is a little bit more green and is a little bit more like a village. So when I was growing up, there's a population of like 5,000. And like, it looks like a normal housing estate, I guess. But then one day I remember waking up and there was like 3 cows in our driveway because they'd just gotten out from like a farm that was behind another house in our road. So it's like 40 minutes outside of Dublin city centre, but still farmland, but still village. There's like a running club, there's a GAA club, there's 6 pubs, there's 2 hairdressers, there's a petrol station.
Right.
It was like, it's small and everybody knows each other and everybody's kind of sitting on top of each other. It's a village, yeah. Basically. It's village life.
Yeah. When you decided you wanted to make music yourself, were you encouraged to do it? Like, what were your first performances? How did you decide to do it?
I wasn't encouraged at all. My family thought I was insane. Like, my family thought I was mad. So, like, my mom is a nurse and my sister and my brother are nurses and my other sister is a teacher. So, like, pop star was not on the agenda. No, they didn't really encourage me. And, my mom in particular loves to say now, oh, I was always so proud of her going to all of her gigs and blah, 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 blah. She loves to say stuff like that. And it's just a lie because I remember on the day I organized a gig for my first band and we played upstairs in Whelan's and I think 50 people came. And as I was like waiting to go on stage, she sent me like a job listing over Facebook Messenger.
Wow.
Like, get a real job. And the thing is, I was working in a Super Value. I was working in like a supermarket, but it wasn't like, I had dropped out of college, you see, so I think that was a bit of a bone of contention for my family. They were like, I think they really thought that I was going to go to university and get like a really good degree and become like a teacher or like a university lecturer or something because I was quite good in school. I wish I knew why I did it. Like, I wish I knew why I started making music or why I started performing it live. But I honestly can't tell you. I just had to do it. And I did it immediately. Like, I got into secondary school. I was like, can I play in the school assembly in front of 1,000 people with my ukulele and do a cover of Katy Perry's Hot and Cold, Please? And there was 1,000 kids in my school and I was 12 and I just did it. And I remember being scared, so scared, but I just did it anyway. And that was like the story of like my genesis into music. Nobody was encouraging me. I wasn't even encouraging me. I just kind of had to do it. I just felt like I didn't have an option. I just always felt like it was what I was going to do. And turns out I was right. But like, yeah. Jesus, the early shows and the early things I did were so terrifying because I didn't even know anyone who like played the guitar until I was like 14. So it's not like there was like someone around me that I was like, oh, this is a path. There was no path. There was nothing. I didn't even, like, there was no musicians. Like, nothing. It was weird.
My guest is C-Mat on World Cafe. Her new album is called Euro Country. What was the first country music you remember hearing? You're living in this little town outside of Dublin. What do you remember hearing?
There's a lot of country music in Ireland. Like, Irish people really, really love it. I would have heard a lot of Johnny Cash. He's like the first big heavy hitter for me when I was growing up. Because it was like, I feel like that film came out. Like the film
Walk the Line
came out. Yeah. I was probably like 10 or 11 when that film came out. And then there was this like huge resurgence of interest around him. But to be honest, I even remember him being famous before then. So I don't know. He's just one of those artists that, like, Irish people claim him. I loved that soundtrack. I illegally downloaded that soundtrack with Reese Witherspoon singing onto my iPod when I was like 11. And I loved, you know, the Carole Perkins song she does. I got arms, well, I got arms. Let's get together and use those arms. Let's go. Time's wasting.
A cake's no good if you don't mix the batter and bake it.
And love's just a bubble if you don't take the trouble to make it. So if you're free to go with me, I'll take you quicker than one, two, three.
Let's go.
Time's wasting.
Like, I have a really distinct memory of, like, you know, PE, I think in America you call it gym.
Yeah.
We'd have to like run laps. And on the first lap, I'd run up into this hill and then hide until all the laps were done because I hated exercising so much. And to this day, I still do. And I used to hide this girl called Emma and this other girl called Fiona. And we'd just sit there and they'd be like, sing the song. And it would be that song. And I was just like, I was like 10. I was just like singing this song to these two girls that just wanted me to sing it to them over and over again. It's so weird. Like, I don't, like, they were just like, sing for us. I was like, okay.
Why do you,
like,
think?
I think I was always able to sing, so that was impressive or whatever. But like, yeah, just the country songs in particular, everyone always wanted me to sing country.
Why do you think you connected with that genre, with the image of a country singer or, you know, a cowboy, or just the feeling of country music?
I think because it's sad. And I think sadness for me is always the most interesting emotion. And I think, like, you know, I was like a very dramatic middle child and I kind of struggled to make friends. And I was always a bit isolated and my family didn't really. It's a funny thing to say now when you're an adult and you're friends with all these people. But when I was a kid, my family really didn't understand me. It really, like, I wasn't really friends with my, like, sisters or my mom until kind of after, like, the whole CMAT thing happened, to be honest. Like, I feel like when the CMAT thing happened, they really understood me and they were like, oh, other people are saying you're good at this, which means you're good at this, which means you're not delusional and crazy. Okay. Like, they didn't really understand that I was good at music until other people started saying it. Do you know what I mean? But I think that when I was a kid, I was really lonely. I think I was a really, really, really lonely kid. If I look back now, like, I was writing songs from when I was like 5, being like, whoa, I wish I had friends. Like, you know, those, like, really dramatic songs that kids write. They're like, I am so alone and everybody hates me. That is the genesis of, like, an actual songwriter, right?
Yeah.
Like, it starts off sounding like that and then it gets good.
Yeah. Oh, if you looked back at my old journals, the drama.
Yeah, the drama.
The drama.
Nothing worse has ever happened than to a 9-year-old girl. Than anything happening to a 9-year-old girl.
Exactly.
Anything happening to a 9-year-old girl.
Exactly.
I wore the wrong top to school today and somebody
Life's
said that
over.
I wore the wrong top to school today, so I'm going to literally leave the country now. I'm going to leave the country. So I love country music because it's sad and it sounds sad. The, like, sadness is in the bones of country music. I even think it's in the bones of, like Buck Owens, which is, like, you know, the happy kind of, like, up-tempo, like, country music. I think it's in the bones of even the happiest country music is just, like, pure sadness and, like, abject misery and confusion at the human condition. And these are all the topics that occupy my brain the most.
Yeah, there's
and
a melancholy.
It's a very Irish thing. Irish.
So there's a connection there.
Sad. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Of course there is.
We're going to hear you perform your song, I Want to Be a Cowboy Baby, for us next. Could you tell us about writing this one and why you wrote it?
This is probably the most important song that I ever wrote. And I don't know if anything will ever come close to it, but I was living in Manchester with a boyfriend who I'd been with for years and years and years. And he was a terrible guy. And we broke up. And he left the flat that we were living in. And I was alone in the flat for the first time in, like, you know, a year. And I really realized that through this, I guess it was like, I realized that I had committed an act of pure freedom by getting out of the relationship. But now I was left with the with the remnants of that freedom, which is social isolation, because I was a woman and I can't go out drinking by myself. I can't go to the pub by myself without feeling like it's a dodgy thing to do. I can't like go out, you know, like the whole notion of a cowboy is someone who roams the plains and has pure freedom and can do whatever he pleases. But I don't get that same privilege because it's more dangerous for me because I was born a woman.
Mm.
And all of this kind of landed. And I wrote the song in like 20 minutes or like a half an hour while like crying and staring at myself in the mirror. Very 9-year-old Kira coming back to bite me. Very drama of 9-year-old Kira coming back to bite me. And I wrote it and I realized it was the first good song I'd written in years. And when I wrote it, I was like, oh, this is what a song is supposed to be. And I was writing every day for years and years, but it took until that song for me to realize that at the kernel of every single song that you ever write has to be like a really exposing and invasive piece of information about yourself that you need to get off your chest in some way or another. And if that isn't there, then it's not worthwhile. And so basically this song made me songwriter, which is crazy.
Well, let's hear it. This is C-Matt, I Want to Be a Cowboy Baby, live for the World Cafe.
Is everyone having lots of fun? Okay, good. I just have one question. What do you want to be? A cowboy?
Always a cowboy, never the cow. I hate the way my
From CMAT's debut album, If My Wife Knew I'd Be Dead, you just heard I Wanna Be a Cowboy Baby. CMAT has a new album called Euro Country. She'll talk more about her Irish identity and about singing in Irish on that album's title track after this quick break here on World Cafe.
Happy Friday, and thanks so very much for listening to The World Cafe on People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. We do have a winter weather advisory in northwest Minnesota until 6 p.m. with snow and widespread blowing snow, winds gusting up to 50 miles per hour, includes Beltrami, Clearwater, and Hubbard counties, slippery road conditions with reduced visibility. There are travel advisories on several roads in northwestern Minnesota, including Highway 2 between Crookston and East Grand Forks. Visit 511mn.org for up-to-date information. We received support from First National Bank Bemidji, helping local families and businesses reach their financial goals. First National Bank Bemidji, better together, member FDIC. KBXC presents Ski Palooza at Three Island Park in Bemidji on Saturday, January 24th from noon to 3. Come cross-country ski, snowshoe, fat tire bike, play music, or just swap stories around the fire. Bring a snack to share. We hope to see you there. And now let's get you back to more from the World Cafe on KAXE, KBXC.
Welcome back to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duras. My guest today is Irish artist CMAT, whose latest album is called Euro Country. Both your first and second albums begin with songs that are named after American places. You have Nashville, you have California. This time you start in Ireland. Let's talk about the title track, Euro Country, where you begin by singing in Irish.
God is God of my aim of my will make the camp full of a gum, yeah. August passing tuck new.
Okay, so what are you saying in that first verse?
So the first verse is God is God of me ain't of Merwell make Boolalath. So it's like what am I to do if I'm not meeting you? The camp full of a gum, August passing tuck new. I've an empty head and a new personality. Irium nis to actas to imahamahail. I become more invisible as you're gone from my life. There's nothing left in the mirror. Will I be beautiful bald? Mm. Which I think is a piece of poetry that reads like nonsensical when you translate it into the English language. but to me makes a lot of sense. I really wanted it to start off in the Irish language because I used to speak Irish when I was a kid. I went to a Gaelic school, so we spoke Irish every day. And I was really fluent in it. But now in adulthood, I haven't really used Irish language since I was like 18. So my Irish is really poor. Like it's really, really broken. And it doesn't, like I would hate to call myself a Gaelgore now because I'm not as leaf as I used to be. I'm not as fluent as I used to be. So I quite liked the kind of fighting and the push and pull of singing in broken Irish or singing in poor Irish to begin this song about national identity. Because mm-hmm. I think it's such an illustrative point of like, you know, I can't speak Irish because in order to have any kind of life for myself, I had to move to England. Right. And so my Irish is gone. And it's not anywhere near as good as it used to be. And that in and itself is enough of a symbol of what we're talking about in the whole album and in the whole song.
There's a musical choice you made in there that might not be as obvious to like a North American listener, but you chose not to put percussion under that part of the song.
Yeah, so that bit of the song that's in Irish is free tempo. So there's no percussion, so there's no BPM, it's completely free time, which is how all Irish traditional music is sung. So like Shano singing is usually unaccompanied, or if it's accompanied, there's no percussion. So it's free time, there's no time signature, there's no nothing. So I sang it in free time and then the beat comes in. And so that's when I start singing in English because it's like we've moved into the new part of my life. And I wanted it to be illustrated musically as we did it, yeah.
Back when I miss him, I learned a lot from my being
definitely tried to make a really concerted effort this time to kind of dig into the nooks and crannies of my Irishness, because what we're playing with on the record is national identity and how I think that national identity causes more problems than it solves, and how it's something we should be proud of, but not too proud of. And particularly at the minute in Ireland, it's causing a lot of problems because of the rise of the far right. And there's a lot of very, very racist people who are taking the Irish identity and running with it as a get out of jail free card for their own racism. Mm-hmm. Which is something I really wanted to point towards in the song as well, in the song Euro Country. And I've talked about it a lot because it's quite a difficult thing to put into a song, to be honest. It's quite nuanced and it's separate from me and from my emotions, because it's not an emotional experience. So talking about that kind of stuff in the body of a song can be quite difficult, but I was very sure to like make it very clear, make it very clear what I was talking about.
Your original plan for this album was kind of a compilation of unreleased songs from your first and second album sessions.
Yeah.
But a lot of things happened in your life in 2024 that changed your plan. Could you kind of give us an idea of what you were going through?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely just a combination of like a very good friend of mine died who took me very seriously. Another friend of mine was in a very serious car accident and he almost died. A lot of stuff was happening in the world, obviously. Mm-hmm. Like the Palestinian issue has been very close to my heart and my family's heart for like years and years, obviously, because it's so related to what happened in Ireland and like our family history and stuff. That was getting worse. Everything just suddenly felt very, very heavy. And I think in times when things get really heavy, you start to regress and you kind of revert to your past. And like, I know culturally we see like a return to like nostalgia and like childhood comforts and all this. But when I think of my past, when I think of my childhood, I was like, oh, so the thing I get to go back to is like Ireland's economic crash. That's brilliant. It's like the bit that I get to return to is just another traumatizing time. Brilliant.
Yeah.
And it just kind of got me thinking. I think it kind of just ignited something in me where I was like, oh, you know, I don't think anyone's really made a record about that time in Ireland. And I don't think anyone's really gone in on it artistically. And yeah, I think that's as good a reason as any for me to make a record, you know. I don't like doing things without purpose.
Let me quickly reintroduce you if you're just joining us. I'm speaking with C-Matt today on World Cafe. Her new album is called Euro Country. We talked a bit about the economic crash in Ireland in 2009 being kind of something that you explore in these songs. It's sort of a lens that you write them through sometimes. We hear it right from the beginning when you sing about people in your community taking their own lives during the crash, about houses being built and staying empty. That happened when you were about 12 years old. And that's like a very impressionable age when it comes to understanding the world around you and how it works. How did that experience shape you personally?
I think that's a difficult one to answer, because the thing with that is a lot of it didn't happen to me immediately or to the people in my life immediately. It was kind of a thing that was happening two or three steps removed. So it wasn't that, you know, my dad took his own life. That didn't happen. But other people that I knew, their dads took their own life. And it's really difficult to know what effect that had on me, other than the only thing I guess I'm grateful for is that I remember it happening. People in the States might not be aware, but when that song came out in Ireland, it really seemed to make a bit of an impact. Like a lot of people tuned in when that song came out. And suddenly, like, the paper the next week in the Irish Times, they were like, is what Seema alleges in her song true? Because we don't remember it like that. So we're going to look at the exact facts and figures. And then people were trying to dispel what I had put forward in my song. And they were trying to be like, this didn't happen. And then other people were like, actually, it did. And there was all this, like, arguing about, like, facts and figures and data. And I mean, the thing is, it's really, really difficult to quantify why people take their own lives, right? There's no data for that, really. You can't say this happened, therefore this happened. All I could do is present a memory of a scene that was very real and very present when I was a 12-year-old girl, which was this guy was on the telly all the time. All these people lost their houses. All of these men started committing suicide. This all happened in the same year. And I remember because I was there and I was 12.
Yeah.
And I think it's really easy to forget really difficult things. And we as a people have a really consistent habit of doing that. Because, like I said, when super difficult stuff happens, when war happens or when mass suicides happen because of an economic crash, 20 years later, a government can palm that off on something else because it's a very difficult thing to get facts and figures on.
Sure.
And that is what I saw happening with the release of my song. And I thought that was crazy that they were trying to imply that this didn't happen, because it did happen. And lots of other writers and authors and people in different mediums my age have like written about this. But again, it just didn't get listened to.
Right.
And they're still trying to basically say that I'm full of it. And I find that mad.
My guest is C-Matt on World Cafe. Her new album is called Euro Country. I want to talk about the song Take a Sexy Picture of Me before we end this interview. It starts with the lyrics, "Ever since I was a little girl, I only wanted to be sexy, 9 years old, trying to wax my legs with tape." Could you tell us the story behind this song and what prompted you to write this?
This song was really born out of basically, when I started performing live music at like really big festivals and stuff in the UK, I'd never played to big UK audiences before. I'd been very used to playing in front of big Irish audiences who, dare I say, are a bit more forgiving, but not so much in England or anywhere, and definitely not on a wider scale. And basically, as soon as I started being broadcast on television, immediately I just attracted like the most vile comments about my physical appearance. And it's still, you know, it was basically as soon as I became famous, the only thing that 80% of the people on the internet felt the need to talk about was how much I weigh, which is crazy because, like, you know, it really wasn't a factor in anything to do with my job or my career. I mean, that's still true. Sorry. It actually has nothing to do with my job or my career because I'm a songwriter. But I really wasn't super conscious of it until like after that happened. Mm. I started playing really big festivals, started doing the BBC Radio 1 Big Weekend and was put on the telly, and all the comment section just were like, fat, ugly, vile, fat, ugly, vile. And I was like, what? Crazy. Like, I was genuinely very shocked by it. I thought if people were going to have an issue with something to do with me, that would be pretty low down on the list. I thought that was like not that important. But it turns out, if you're a woman and you make music, there's an expectation. There's an expectation over, you know, what you look like and how you present yourself. And I couldn't stop thinking about what that means. And I just kept hypothesizing over it. Like, you know, one of the things is I do think that the standard of beauty that is expected of women in entertainment is directly linked with a perceivable level of like suffering. Like, I want this woman to look like she starves herself and works very hard on her appearance. I think there's just loads of things in it, but ultimately it's to do with subjugation.
Hmm.
And it's like, I would prefer if women look young, because there is a quiet, just like thin layer of subjugation that comes with that. If I think a woman looks young, then there's a lot to be said for maybe I could control her, or maybe, you know, she'd be a bit more presentable and a bit more moldable and a bit better behaved or something. There's a lot of really tricky things going on with, I think, people's very loud distaste for the way that I look, in the way that there often is when people really criticize someone's appearance over and over again. There's something deeper than just they don't like the presentation. It's they don't like what the presentation means.
Yeah.
You know, and so the song kind of came about because I just hated those people.
You made the song, this song, reacting to all of that, a huge pop banger, which must be very satisfying to play it live.
It was. it was very satisfying. And it was satisfying that it was a hit as well, because I kind of directly was trying to make the song in such a way that it would be a hit, so that as many people, the same audience that was getting exposed to the videos of me that they hated so much would also be exposed to this song that was directly attacking them. That was what I wanted. I wanted them to hear it. And I wanted them to feel bad about themselves, because I thought they deserved to.
Yeah, no, I agree. We're going to hear it right now. We're going to hear you perform it. And all those haters, you're going to feel bad about yourself. But most of you, I think, are going to just love it. Here's Take a Sexy Picture of Me. It's CMAT live from the World Cafe. Performing live for World Cafe, CMAT, Take a Sexy Picture of Me. Her latest album is called Euro Country. CMAT has been my guest today. It has been such a joy talking to you. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Raina. I've loved it.
I'm Raina Duras, back in a moment with more World Cafe.
Happy Friday morning. Hope you're staying safe and warm. And thanks so much for listening to the World Cafe on People Powered Radio, KAXE, KBXE. My name is Dan Gannon. Do you rely on KAXE? Are you at least 70 and a half years old? Supporting KAXE's future is easy. Ask your financial advisor to set up charitable IRA distributions to KAXE. Questions? Call Sarah at 218-326-1234. Headwaters Music and Arts in Bemidji has their monthly campfire jam tonight, Friday, January 15th at 6 p.m. Bring your guitar, ukulele, or banjo. All skill levels are welcome, and there are extra ukuleles on hand if you'd like to give it a try. Union Congregational Church, United Church of Christ in Hackensack presents Frost and Flannel, a dinner, followed by live music from Larry Kimball and Mama Wags. Tonight, Friday, January 16th at 5 p.m., proceeds will go towards a new roof for the church. Coming up at 1 o'clock, your volunteer on the river host will be Brandon Chase, bringing you great music until 4 p.m. Now let's get you back to the World Cafe.
Before the break, you heard a session with CMAT. She's just embarking on a huge world tour and will be heading our way in the spring, starting the USA leg of that tour at Coachella. Back into your music here on World Cafe, it's Krungbin and Leon Bridges, B-Side.
Just as your pillow, waiting for your love. You in all the ways, in another place. All I'm thinking of, just can't get enough.
best you can. But it don't take much for me before my cup runs over. All this love inside me, I believe there's going to be an explosion. Oh, baby, I'm in no hurry. Yeah, tell me all your troubles. Yeah, and you won't ever have to worry, no. One more thing, you just can't trust everybody. Everybody you see. No, no, you'll find yourself.
Here I am, come and take me. That's Al Green closing out this hour of World Cafe. Thank you again to CMAT for being on the show today. That was so much fun. And thanks to World Cafe producer Miguel Perez for his work on that session. You can always take World Cafe with you wherever you go by subscribing to the World Cafe podcast on your favorite podcast app. And you can follow us on Instagram at World Cafe. You can follow me too on social media at Ra Ra Raina, RAHRAHRAINA. Lots of love to our affiliate stations who bring this show to you across the country. We produce it at WXPN at the University of Pennsylvania in Philadelphia. My name is Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe from NPR.
World Cafe is supported by the Kauffman Foundation, providing access to opportunities that help people achieve financial stability, upward mobility, and economic prosperity, regardless of race, gender, or geography. Kauffman.org. And by Luminescence Foundation. Luminescence Foundation is dedicated to shedding light on neurological research focused on Alzheimer's and Parkinson's diseases and supporting land conservation initiatives.
This is 91.7 KAXE Grand Rapids, 90.5 KBXE Bagley Bemidji, 89.9 Brainerd, and on your smart speaker, we are People Powered Radio in northern Minnesota. Join us at KAXE.org. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Dan Gannon. Hope you're having a really good day. Thanks so much for listening. Weather in the listening region. Today, we are under a winter weather advisory in northwestern Minnesota until 6 p.m. with snow and widespread blowing snow. Winds gusting up to 50 miles per hour, including Beltrami, Clearwater, and Hubbard counties. Slippery road conditions with reduced visibility. There are travel advisories on several roads in northwestern Minnesota, including Highway 2 between Crookston and East Grand Forks. Visit 511mn.org for up-to-date information. Weather today, cloudy with patchy snow throughout the day, highs 18 to 22 degrees, northwest winds 10 to 30 miles per hour, and tonight, lows negative 6 to 2 above, blustery northwest winds 15 to 30 miles per hour. Saturday, mostly cloudy to partly sunny with highs 0 to 7, northwest winds 10 to 25, evening lows negative 7 to negative 11, and Sunday, snow possible before noon with half an inch to 2 inches expected, highs 6 to 13 degrees, evening lows negative 10 to negative 15. Live music tonight. Charlie Wagner will be at Rapids Brewing.